We start this hour with further reflections on Jared Roughead's decision to relinquish the captaincy at Hawthorn, one of the most admired figures in the game. I think even more so taking this decision. The general manager of footy at Hawthorn is Graham Wright. Graham, welcome to 1116 SEN.
Hi, Jared. How are you?
Good. How admirable is it for a man to hand back the captaincy of his footy club in your eyes?
Certainly, as you said, he's one of the most admired figures in the game. There's no doubt about that. But this is a conversation that started back in July, that he was thinking that this was the best option for him and the club, that being able to hand back the captaincy, concentrate on his own football and getting himself right, but also to, I suppose, usher a new leadership group or a new leadership person at the helm of everything into the club is the right time.
So how deeply had he thought it through in your eyes?
I think it had been, no doubt he'd really thought it through. The conversations he had with Clarke and myself separately were ones that he'd really thought through exactly where he wanted to go and what it meant for his footy and I suppose most importantly from his perspective, what it meant for the club.
What are the demands what are the modern demands that Jared Roughead was shouldering as captain?
Yeah, there's a lot, obviously, from certainly overall you're the figurehead of the playing group, so you're responsible for leading up the leadership group, but also to setting the example for everyone and being across everything that goes on in the playing group, but also to upstairs, or what we call upstairs here from a football department perspective and also to a club perspective. So you're involved in everything, basically. But also from the captain's perspective with the coach, there's a really close alignment there. And even with my role, that anything that's going on, obviously we need to go through the captain and make sure that they're across it and they're okay with everything. They would have had an enormous amount of phone calls from Clarko week to week on the direction that we were going and what Clarko might be proposing or what the club might be proposing. So there's a lot that goes on with the media side as well, obviously, and they're the first person to be put up.
Russell Green was moved to call in a short time ago, Graham, to talk about what a great leader he believed Jared Roughead had been for the club. Was he a great leader?
Oh, listen, he has been, in my view, he's been a great leader for a long period of time, even when Hodgie and Sam were captain. He's been a great leader in that regard. And then obviously coming back from where he was in 2015-16 and what he had to deal with there, and then being able to take on the captaincy his first year back post his cancer diagnosis. I mean, it's been an outstanding effort from his perspective. He leads really well by example. He's hard, he's tough, and he puts the team first. So from that perspective, you'd certainly put him in that category.
Is there an element of self-preservation, of trying to maintain his longevity in the decision that he's taken?
That's probably a question for Jared, but I would have thought so, that the amount of time and effort and what he needs to do now to get himself right to play, that may have weighed into his decision and making sure that also too he's got enough time for it. He's got a young family now. Obviously, there's a lot of demands, as we said before, about what you're brought into, but also too what you're expected to do from a ceremonial point of view or what you're asked to go to. So there's demands everywhere in relation to it. So I think some of those would have been about making sure his body's right, making sure he's got time for his family, and as I said, making sure he's doing the right thing by the club.
He took the role on at probably the most difficult time for him. It felt sort of very selfless to become the captain when he did. Is his return from the cancer treatment was remarkable at any rate. To be able to lead the club, what were your perceptions of him at the time?
Yeah, listen, one, fantastic to be able to take all, to go through what he had to go through, and then to be able to take on the captaincy. They're two hugely different things you have to do. One is you've got to be very selfish in relation to putting yourself first and driving yourself through his cancer treatment, which was amazing. And then off the back of that, then basically being very selfless in relation to how you look at your footy and what you're doing around the football club. So, yeah, to be able to do that was amazing. And as I said, I mean, leading us to a finals appearance this year. I think he played 22 22 of 24 games. He's been, you know, very durable during that period as well. So he basically came back from his cancer treatment and played every game in 2017 and only missed two games last year. So he's done a fantastic job across the board.
That durability has been astounding. And I read that this morning that sort of re-emphasised just how well he did come back. What are his likely prospects next year, Graham? Would he play less? Would he be managed as a veteran player?
Yeah, listen, all those things would be, I suppose, up for debate and probably with our coaches and our fitness staff. Whether he plays less, he'll turn 32 in January, so he's, as he said yesterday, he's not a super old guy. I mean, we've probably put Sean in that category, that being 36, but from Jared's perspective, as a taller player, as a guy who's probably taken a lot of punishment over the years, is the how often he plays and when he plays. But they're all probably things for the coaches and our conditioning and medical guys. But he had an ankle operation at the back end of the year. That's always given him some trouble and been an ongoing issue for him. He's come through that really well. I think that the plan is that he'll hit the ground running next week from a training perspective. But most of those guys have different levels. The fitness program's now really tailored around each individual, so the percentage of pre-season and those sort of things I haven't seen at this stage.
Is he the sort of bloke who'd be going, hey, don't be pensioning me off at the moment. Don't talk about me missing games. Is he sort of that stubborn, belligerent type?
Oh, absolutely. You've hit it on the head. He wouldn't see himself missing anything, and training-wise as well, that he's always been a guy who's wanted to train and wanted to be out there. Not quite sure the runnings his go, but the footies are out is what he wants to do. So, yeah, from that perspective, he wouldn't be seeing it dropping off at all. But as I said, it's probably a case for our coaches and medical guys.
Graham Wright's the GM of footy at Hawthorn. Are the Hawks in the unusual position, Graham, of not knowing who the next leader is?
Yeah, I think that'd be fair. I mean, obviously, we've had a leadership group of five, which Jared was one of, so those four guys would certainly be in the mix. And then we've had, an emerging leaders group of six or seven players over the last couple of years as well. So our view was that let's open it up and have a look at it over the pre-season and then see where we land once we get to the end of the pre-season. But invariably, our leaders have been spoken about or locked in or voted on prior to Christmas, but we won't be doing that this year. We'll be taking a bit more time just to work our way through it and see how it falls once we get to the end of our pre-season.
Have you decided on a process, whether it be a player vote or a club decision?
No, I think it'll be a combination of both of those, and so it'll be a club and player. Generally, we've had a player vote, but we may look to change that. Clarko and our first of 4 year players, or most of them, have just got back from Kokoda last night, so they won't be back in the club until Friday, and we don't start again until Monday. So we haven't exactly decided on the process at this stage.
Who are your candidates, do you think, Graham?
Oh, listen, as I said before, I think it'd certainly involve all of the guys that were part of our leadership group this year, which is obviously Isaac, Ben Stratton, Liam Shields, Jack Gunston were part of our leadership group, and then our furthermore down to our next group of leaders, I suppose, or emerging leaders that we have in that group, which includes James Sicily and Tom Mitchell, Jago Romero, Luke Bruce. But, I mean, Ben McAvoy wasn't part of any of those groups, so he'd be involved in it. So I wouldn't like to say exactly who it's going to be because, as I said, I don't think we've got to that stage yet.
Do you want all of those players to, how would you say, do you want them to want it? Do you want them to want to be captain?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think you'd appoint a captain that didn't want the role. So from that perspective, I think, yeah, all of those. But I would imagine all of those guys would love to do the role, but I'm sure they'd all support whoever got the role as well. So from that perspective, we feel like our leadership group and our leaders at the club, whether they're official or not, are very supportive of each other. And basically, whoever gets the role, I'm sure they'll support. But I'm sure all those guys would like to do it. I'd hope they do.
It feels like a rare moment. They are all well-established and admired players. They're not the high-profile captain that probably Hawthorn has had over a sequence of appointments. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, you might be right with that. But I mean, Tom Mitchell's a Brownlow medalist, so that's pretty high profile. Yep. But, yeah, from that perspective, you're probably right. But as you said, they've all been excellent leaders in their own right. A lot of them have been multiple premiership players. A lot of them have been best and fairest winners, that type of thing. And they've all shown leadership qualities on the way through, and that includes some of the younger guys as well. So from that perspective, we feel like the field that we'll be choosing from is pretty deep. And as I said, we're looking forward to the summer to see where we end up.
We've just come out of the draft, Graham, as Hawthorn didn't play a big role there. You made your moves during the trading period. Philosophically, will there be a point when you sit through a draft, you go, well, probably in the next couple of years, we're going to have to be a part of this at the pointy end?
Yes and no. Our view's always been that the draft, free agency, trade are periods where you need to get better and how you do that. So we never lean one way or the other. It's probably looked like we've lent the trade or free agency way. We haven't really done a lot in free agency outside of James Frawley a few years ago. So invariably, we've gone trade. A couple of years ago, we had two picks in the first round, but we'll use whatever one of those mechanisms we can to improve. So we don't rule one in or out. We've got pretty much our full complement of picks next year and the year after. Will we take them all? I wouldn't like to say right now, but we don't really lean one way or the other. Invariably, we want to bring guys in who are going to make us better. How do we get better? Do we need to get younger? All of those things come into it. But we're trying to get better every year.
It's that strategic choice, and you've obviously had your hands on the levers of this for some time. So there's that chart that went up today, is top 30 picks since 2009. Hawthorn, none in the 1 to 10 bracket, 2 in the 11 to 20 bracket, 3 in the 21 to 30 bracket, 5 in total. There are different philosophies, aren't there? They're quite stark numbers when they're presented in a chart like that.
Yeah, I didn't say the chart, sorry, but I mean, we're obviously aware of all of that. I mean, in my time here, I think we've had 4 or 5 picks since 2007 inside 25. So we know we don't take a lot of picks in there. And I know our recruiters would probably like to take more, which I've been one of regularly. But we also understand that there's in every trade there has to be an opportunity cost, and what are you bringing in, and what comes in and what goes out. And we understand that. We try and bring guys in of the right age that are going to be here for a period of time if we're trading for them. Guys that may be able to fill a role, and guys that we might have a specific need for. So we don't really look at any of them in isolation. We try and put them together and go, okay, as I said, how are we going to get better? What roles do we need to fill? Where are we going to be in the future? But we've always got an eye to the future and what it might look like. But from that perspective, it does look, I could imagine it looks pretty stark from a numbers perspective, but it's not something we didn't know.
What do you know about basketball, Graham?
I like the NBA, and I love the NBL and Phoenix now. I don't know a lot about it, but the guys came in and presented to us the other day, and obviously they're going to tap into what we do. I presume that's what you're talking about.
Yes, yeah, the alignment with the Southeast Melbourne Phoenix.
Yes, which I think will be great. But, as I said, I'm not completely across it, other than I know that they'll tap into the professionalism of our upstairs staff here in relation to all sorts of things, whether it be marketing, whether it be membership, whether it be finance, and I'm sure that'll be a very good alignment.
Is there, in that presentation, are there any natural synergies other than, I mean, they're both high-performance sport, clearly?
Yes, and probably geographically where we're located. They're just up the road from where we are, and that's where they'll be based. So I think that's one, but also, I think there could be some synergies across a whole range of areas, as I said, the ones I just mentioned before, but also too, whether it be high performance or medical or those sorts of things that we could share information.
Have you seen much of Chad Wingard at the club? So he would have just walked Kokoda, wouldn't he?
He's been at Kokoda. Yeah. Him and Jarman Impey were two of the older guys who went across there, and I'm not quite sure he's exactly really looking forward to it, but I'm told he got through it. I sent a photo of him at the end of it. And, it'll be very interesting to see the experience they had. But Chad was in here just before he left and looks fit and in good condition. So We're looking forward to welcoming him in the next few days.
So just as we leave you, Graham, a couple of people have inquired on the text, just what the rationale around the Irving Mosquito decision was, is to pass up the right to take him once he was bid for reasonably early on by Essendon.
Yeah, it's always difficult because we've had a part of what we're doing here for a couple of years, but in any academy bidding or father-son bidding, to be honest, they need to sit in a talent order, and then it's all about where they bid and how many players you may or may not have in front of them. Where it was bid for, we had too many players that we rated ahead of him. So to match the bid potentially would have affected our pick for next year and potentially would have forced that pick, obviously, into the mid-30s. So we, at that pick, we decided, and we decided well and truly beforehand that if he was bid on there, that we wouldn't match the bid. So we wish him well. He's a quality young man, and he's got a fair bit to do in relation to development-wise, but I'm sure Essendon will look after him, which is great. But from our perspective, we have to take the emotion out of it and make a business decision.
Good on you, Graham. Appreciate your time.
No worries at all. Thanks, Jared.